Class with Unash and Dukes, KGYM.
Yeah, we'll take it down tonight. If you're ready, ready for a fight. We'll take it down tonight. If you're ready, ready for a fight. Cause ain't nobody gonna do this for
you. We should just play this whole song.
Definitely
goody. Evidently, it wasn't taken to East Lansing with the Hawkeyes. I don't know.
No. They lacked a few takedowns. That's for sure.
What was your overall impression of the Big Ten Championships from an Iowa standpoint?
From an Iowa standpoint? Well, I guess there's two ways of looking at it. You know, if I'm looking on the outside in, I'm going, hey, not a bad tournament. Could have possibly gotten 10 guys through or only gotten 7 through. We got 9 guys through going to the NCAA championships, same as Penn State. So that's good. I mean, 9 guys, that's not bad. Looking on the inside, you know, I think that the 9 guys that we had some guys wrestle above seeds, at seeds, and below seeds. You're going to have that. Everybody has that. But I just think in general – we just lacked a little bit of effort and toughness.
You're not suggesting that anybody should be satisfied with fourth place in the Big Ten?
No. But I will say this, and I'm not trying to sound like, I don't know, best way to put it, but Ohio State had a great tournament.
Yes, they did.
They showed up and took care of business, just like last year. And a lot of people forget. I mean, everybody's got Penn State on a pedestal right now. But some people have to remember, Ohio State came and stole that Big Ten championship last year, too. And they got some transfers in, and they have definitely made an impact. And their team this last weekend looked light years better from a conditioning point of view, from an effort point of view, than what they did, 3 weeks ago when they lost to Penn State in the dual meet. They looked way better this last weekend. I mean, the last 3 weeks, they've done a good job with their team and brought them along. I mean, they were there. They were fighting through, you know, scramble situations. I mean, they're wrestling hard for 7 minutes. I mean, they earned that tournament. And Penn State, you know, they still had a good tournament, you know, without Nolf in there. I mean, Nolf having to default out, not having to, but choosing to, you know, that hurt him. I think if Nolf would have been in there healthy the whole entire time, it would have been a very interesting run for that title.
Speaking of that, what about Kemmerer too? He defaulted out.
Yeah, even with Kemmerer though in there, even if he comes through and wins it, we still don't touch Michigan. Michigan is the team that I thought had the best tournament out of everybody. Michigan was on fire. And I honestly thought, you know, it's kind of cliche in the fact that who do you give the Big Ten title to or head coach to, or who do you give the Big Ten head coach or the coach of the year to? It's kind of cliche that you give it to whoever wins the Big Tens, mm-hmm. which hasn't always been the case, because out of 25 Big Ten championships for Gable or whatever it was, or 21, he probably got it like twice. But I thought, honestly, that the Michigan staff and McFarland probably should have gotten Coach of the Year.
In regards to Kemmerer, though, what's his situation?
Honestly, I think it's a situation where, yeah, his knee's still an issue, but I don't think that was the sole reason he defaulted out. I think he's just struggling a little bit right now with confidence, you know, and just, I don't know. It's just not Michael Kemmerer. He's not where he was at the end of the year last year or where he was at the beginning of this year. And I think that knee injury has played a role in it, you know, but he just more so between the years. He just has to get that confidence back, get that swagger back. And that's where, you know, the coaching staff is going to need to work some magic, hopefully, with him. And it's not an easy thing to do between now and the NCAAs.
You're plugged into that Iowa room a little bit, and I'm curious. You kind of talked about how, you know, there's two ways of looking at things right now. They had a little bit of a disappointing Big Ten championships, but Then again, they did put 9 guys through to the NCAAs. So what are they more focused on? What's their general attitude right now?
Well, I think the thing is you know, I think there's a lot of negativity after the championships towards Iowa, not having the tournament they had, finishing fourth behind Michigan and so forth, whatever. You can't get really caught up in all that right now. Was it our best tournament? No, it absolutely wasn't. But you know what? That tournament's over. I mean, there's nothing you can do about that tournament now except for move on, try and fix some things, and take it to another level between here and Nationals and go in. You have to go in, and this is kind of how I ended the radio program this last weekend. You have to go in to Nationals. We have nothing to lose, absolutely nothing to lose, okay? Go in with an open, fresh mind and just let the fur fly and go in and just score as many points as you can. And that's the type of mentality. To go in and wrestle tight, close matches and just hoping that, you know, you win because the referee, you know, something goes your way and you got a break from the referee, or the other guy gets injured, or he's tired or fatigued or whatever it may be. I mean, you can't go in hoping to win like that. We wrestled way too many close matches, I think, at the Big Ten Championships that didn't have to be close. If we wrestle up to our capabilities and we go out and we put forth the effort. And that's my biggest thing, just going out and putting forth the effort with a fresh mind. And, you know, and that's the most important thing for these guys. Being positive, fresh minds, staying off of the message boards and chat rooms and all that BS, and just going in and wrestling your tournament. That's the most important.
Mark Ironside joining us on the gym class today at 3:22. Mark, you know me. I don't mind engaging you in some controversy, and you respond very well at that. Nathan Tomasello. Tom Brands called him out after he beat Spencer Lee. Grabbing headgear, grabbing singlets. Tom Brands says he's talked to officials about that. Legit or sour grapes?
Honestly, I haven't seen any of that. Where did he call him out at? Was it like on the right after the tournament?
KJ's the story in the paper. Huh. Yeah.
I usually read KJ stuff, but I didn't see that. Of course, I got back late that night.
Does Tomasello have a reputation for that?
I don't know. Not that I've seen, you know, but it's a lot of that type of stuff is you can't really see it from, especially where I was sitting.
Yeah.
at Michigan State, up in like almost the suites, you know, and him and Spencer Lee are wrestling literally on the farthest mat away. I didn't see any of that. I mean, even in my seats at the Carver Hawkeye Arena, I didn't see that. Now, you go back to the match where Sorensen wrestles Deacon from Northwestern. Mm-hmm. That match in overtime, and we win that match on a pull in the headgear call. That was blatant as can be. I mean, everybody in the arena saw that, even if you're up on the concourse. But a lot of that type of stuff, what happens, you don't ever see from, unless you're literally right there, mat side. Mm-hmm. So I have not seen that, but I'm not saying that he hasn't done that. I mean, if Tom Brands is reportedly saying that in the paper, then.
And he said he's talked to
officials
about it.
Well, then, I mean, Tom Brands isn't going to come out and just be a crybaby about stuff that's not actually happening. I mean, he has to be, he's coming out, and I mean, he's got a legitimate, you know, reason to, you know, speak his mind and say stuff and talk to referees and stuff about that, then obviously it must be happening. I mean, he's not just going to make something up like that or whatever. So, and the thing is, though, it does make a difference in the match. Just a slight grab of the headgear and stop in motion or this or that, it definitely makes a difference. And a pulling on the singlet or whatever, there's no doubt, just the slightest, a little bit of that type of stuff can make a difference. But the shot that Tomasello hit on Spencer Lee in the finals to take him down was insane. Oh, my gosh. I mean, the left-handed high crotch from a non-tie where he got in so lightning fast and maybe for the split second hit his knee and came right up, immediately taking Spencer off his feet and driving through for a takedown. That was impressive. That was really, really impressive. And you have to give kudos to Spencer Lee, to Tomasello for that shot. I mean, that was legit great shot. That was a money shot right there.
Having said all that, I'm not going to be surprised in the least if Spencer Lee is your national champion.
Hey, I'm telling you right now, I'm doing a couple of pools and stuff like that, or bracket sheets and stuff like that, and I am picking Spencer Lee to win that tournament. And that's not Mark Ironside being an Iowa Hawkeye at heart and a biased fan. That's Mark Ironside using his wrestling knowledge of who I literally, legitimately think will win that tournament, and I really legitimately think Spencer Lee, for sure.
I would think Brandon Sorensen's another guy who some people think could have a chance at the title, but... You know, Rutherford's been his kryptonite, and if they're to meet each other again, what needs to change?
Sorensen had a shot at that.
Well, he did and he didn't. I mean, he had a shot because the score was close, but he didn't because he never really put himself in a position to score a takedown or get out, you know? And those are the two things that, to answer your question, Kyle, if he's going to beat Rutherford, he has to get a takedown, and he has to be able to get out from the bottom, if he chooses bottom. The thing that was disappointing to me was, in most all the matches with, you know, Rutherford, but especially the last couple and the finals last year, is that everybody always talks about being an actor or a reactor. And in this particular situation, you know, in my eyes, Brandon Sorensen is definitely the reactor. He is reacting to everything that Rutherford does. I mean, he wrestles Rutherford's match. With that being said, though, Brandon Sorensen gives Rutherford fits. Rutherford can't get to Sorensen like what Rutherford can get to a lot of other people throughout the whole match. Sorensen kind of has his number a little bit, but yet doesn't have enough where he hasn't figured out any offense against Rutherford. He's got his number where he could slow Rutherford down and prevent Rutherford from racking up a bunch of points on the scoreboard, but he hasn't figured out how to get out from Rutherford or how to take him down yet. And without those two things, it's pretty unlikely that you're going to beat Rutherford.
I actually want to back up to something that you mentioned a little bit ago about these guys need to stay off of social media, stay off the message boards. That's not the first time this has come up this season when you've joined us, you know, and we've actually been discussing that when it comes to the football and basketball teams in the last week or so. How does Tom Brands deal with that when he's talking to his guys?
I don't know. I'm not in the room, so I don't see him address the team about that stuff. I don't know. I'm sure that he tells them, just don't even get on there. Don't look at that stuff, you know? I don't think that they have Twitter accounts. The guys that, as far as I know, don't have Twitter accounts, so they don't see that stuff. But the best thing for anybody, and I'm not just talking wrestling here. I'm talking all sports. Pretty much the Division I level, but really any level, but especially Division I level, high-profile teams, you know, stay away from that stuff. I mean, it's just too easy with all the avenues to social media for people to be able to jump on there and just berail a kid that's 18 to 22, 23 years old and has never probably even been in the sport, and especially that high of a level in that situation, and just, you know, berail the guy, you know? I mean, it's, you know, everybody's, hey, it's America, you know, freedom of speech. You can say what you want, but the thing is what these guys have to be smart about is that they don't have to read it, you know. I'm sure they hear things or whatever, but, you know, I for one, people could be talking about me all over social media, especially like message boards, chat rooms, whatever. I don't even remember. It's been so many years, I mean, years ago since I've been on one of those things and even looked at anything like that. That it's just, and if it did, it just doesn't bother me. It's just, to me, it's a bunch of just hogwash and people that have nothing else better to do in their time. And I mean, that's pretty much all it is. What matters is that the guys go out and they put forth the effort and they do the best they can, and then the chips fall where they fall. But that's what was disappointing this week in the Big Tens is I don't think us as a team as a whole, and I'm not talking everybody, but the team as a whole really put forth the effort and fought really hard, and we're as tough as we could be in particular situations on the weekend.
Two guys that exceeded their seeds for whatever it's worth, Turk and Gunther, and it's always difficult on that backside, but they did their job pretty much.
You know, Turk, I thought, had an outstanding tournament, except for the consolation semifinals against Lee of Penn State, where he came out, got in on a shot, didn't finish. Came out, got in, and again, they got in another shot, finished. Awesome, awesome work by Vince Turk. I love the way he comes out. He was patient, great takedown, but what I didn't like was the fact that when he did, you know, give up the escape, he really kind of shut down after that. That was pretty much it for him. And he never got on bottom, and he never really made an attempt to really get on bottom. You know, that's the same thing with, like Lee and Rutherford rode Turk and Sorensen, but they didn't ride us with, like, a leg in or two legs in and just kind of draping us and riding us parallel. I mean, their rides weren't really just nothing besides staying behind the arms and just kind of pressuring forward. Nothing too spectacular where the ref kept having to stop it, stalemate, or anything like that. You know, I think that we could have done a lot more in those bottom positions where you just got to get mean and tough and just you got to decide if you're going to get out or you're not going to get out. And it comes from you. It's not the fact that the coaches haven't taught them the right things or they don't know the right techniques or they're the guys are throwing something against them they haven't seen before. Anything. All that it does not matter. What matters with those guys getting out in those particular situations is just playing, getting tough, and deciding that I am going to get out and really just start creating motion with their hips, throwing their hips left, right, forward, and explosion right there, and then putting 3-4 holes together in a row to get out. And that's what we're struggling with right now.
Hey, guys, I watch wrestling. It seems like the reversal is a lost art, or maybe it's because the 1 and 2, you can get 3 instead of 2, and could be a variety of reasons, but you see very few anymore.
You're right. You don't see that many reversals anymore. I mean, I don't know how many really see in the past, but I not a ton, but you don't see as many as what you used to. I think a lot of that just, you know, might come from people wanting to, you know, wrestle more on their feet. I mean, if you think about it, if you're on bottom,
get one, get two.
You get a reversal, but then the guy gets out right away, and it's an escape. So now you're right back to square one. You know, where reversal really makes a difference is if a guy gets a reversal, but then continues to ride him and doesn't give up that escape point or can ride him out through the rest of that period, whatever time's left in that period. That's where reversal becomes of high importance, but you just don't see him, you know, the ride like that as often anymore when someone gives up a reversal.
Being held simultaneously was the Big 12's, Mark, and I'm sure you've caught up with it. You couldn't follow it that closely, being at the Big Tens. But you and I, as you predicted, Northern Iowa finished second in that tournament. A very nice tournament. Going to take a nice contingent to Cleveland.
They are. You know, I know that, you know, Doug Schwab and whatever you call it, the Panther train up there, you know, they're pretty happy. And I don't even remember what I saw. I think just on the news, local news, saw some of the interviews with the UNI guys and how they're making a lot of progress and, you know, coming into the Big 12 the first year and placing second in the tournament, you know, and you can look at it two ways. I mean, one way you could look at is the tournament, that conference right now is so weak. Unbelievable. You throw them in the Big 10, then we'll see where they finish type of thing, you know. But at the same time, though, is that from Doug Schwab's point of view, that's a big motivation builder for his team. That's an opportunity to, whether the conference is good or not, there's more teams in it than what they were in before. Oklahoma State was in it, and they got second. So it's an opportunity for him to use that, whether it's really kind of artificial or not, but to use it to its most to help build his team's motivation and confidence and enthusiasm and energy going into the Nationals. And that's what they're doing.
Yeah, whatever the difficulty is of the league is, it's better to perform well than not.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt. And I think they did okay. I didn't, like, watch the matches or anything like that, like you said. But, you know, I don't know. I guess we'll see. You know, Nationals is, going to be a very interesting tournament. It's going to be interesting, obviously, from the Hawks' point of view. If they go out and they compete like they did at the Big Tens, they're going to find themselves in a world of trouble in the fact that they're not going to make top five. No way. No way. I think probably the best that they could do right now is third. But I think if they don't get into that top five, that's going to be a disappointment for them, you know, with what they have right now.
We'll talk more about the national tournament next week. You're going to be here next Wednesday? When are you leaving?
Wednesday, I will probably be on the road traveling to Cleveland during the showtime, which I have my hands-on free device, so probably just do it from my car.
Okay. We'll confirm that with you. But
yeah. I don't think I'll be there yet.
One thing I wanted to ask you about, too, is Barry Davis's resignation at Wisconsin after 25 years. I was covering high school wrestling at the Gazette when Barry and Zaleski and those guys were coming up. You were probably too young to remember.
I was just gonna think, you're really dating yourself right now.
I don't care.
He does that from time to time.
That guy arguably was the best high school wrestler I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He was just tons of energy, technique, 3-time state champion. Of course, Olympic silver medalist. What's your interactions or recollections of Barry Davis, either at Iowa or what have you, besides going out and get some donuts at Ivy?
You know, Barry is a great, great ambassador for the sport of wrestling. I mean, he's done the sport so much good from what you mentioned, from growing up. In Cedar Rapids here and just being kind of a small town kid, and his dad Elmer still seen him and shopping at the Hy-Vee once in a while. And I used to pump gas up at Novox Texaco on the corner of Wilson Avenue and Bowling Street and have him come in and talk when I was in high school. And I've just known the family for a really, really long time. And even still this weekend, I see Barry and, you know, in the room wherever you get the food and stuff like that, or whatever, hospitality room and stuff, and just talks away, we've known each other forever, yeah. And developed a pretty good relationship over the years. I think no matter what, he's still going to be involved in the sport. I'll be curious to see maybe if he moves back to the area possibly. I don't think that he had the success that he really wanted to have up in Madison, up there at Wisconsin. But he's always been right there through the thick and thin. And I'll tell you something. I mean, he's just always so fun, too. He's just always, so positive, and he's got so much energy. And you can't help but kind of take that from him. And it just kind of feeds off of that, for other people to feed off of that and around him. He's fun to watch. And, I seen him get a team point deducted this weekend, and he wasn't even in the chair. I mean, he wasn't even in the corner. I mean, he still has this fire in him, and it's great to see. And, and he's been there for, 25 years now up in Wisconsin. And it'll be interesting to see who takes that program over. And I'm sure they're going to get someone really good in there. And he's taken the program to another level. And it's been fun to watch. And he's a fantastic guy. And I think still deep down, he's a Hawkeye at heart.
Yeah, last thing, and this is the plug for a big event in April. Thomas Gilman has been named to the world team, and that's going to be very exciting.
It's going to be a ton of fun. There's no doubt. It's going to be a lot of fun to be able to go down and see a dual meet format for the World Cup in Carver Hawkeye Arena. And our fans have never seen anything like this before. Even if you've gone to the Olympic trials before, this is not like the Olympic trials. I mean, it's the U.S. team versus these other countries, some of the best countries in the world. I think you got 7 out of the 8 returning world champions that are going to be here in this arena and wrestling. And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And it's kind of nice, too, that it's not like Iowa versus Okie State or Penn State or whatever. You've got guys on the team from different, all over the country, wrestling on the team. You got Ohio State in there. You got Oklahoma in there. You've got Iowa in there. You're going to have Penn State in there. You've got Ohio State in there. And you're cheering for America. You're cheering for the United States. And our Iowa fans appreciate that, and they appreciate good wrestling. And I'm really looking forward to being part of that and watching it myself.
Gonna be
I've never seen a World Cup before.
Really?
So I'm excited, yeah.
Hey, appreciate the insights as always, Mark. We'll talk next week about the NCAA tournament and any other developments in the sport of wrestling. And once again, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. I think the brackets come out. It might even actually be out. It might have just came out here this
pretty
afternoon.
Soon,
they're
yeah.
still coming out right now. They're kind of in the works of coming out as we speak. So, yeah, we'll get those brackets. We'll go through them. A lot of it depends on seeds. I think that, honestly, we'll see what happens at 125. But I think that Spencer Lee losing to Tomasello actually – helped him.
Might put him in the 2-3-2.
I think it'll put him in the 4 seed.
Oh, okay.
I think Cruz of Lehigh, who is undefeated, will get number 1, even though his RPI is not that high because he hasn't wrestled anybody. He hasn't wrestled Suriano. He hasn't wrestled Lee. He hasn't wrestled Tomasello. I still think he'll get 1. Suriano and Tomasello get 2 and 3, which will bump Lee down to 4 and beyond and beyond Cruz's side, which I don't see him having a problem with Cruz. I honestly think it's going to be a Tomasello versus Spencer Lee matchup in the finals on Saturday night, and Spencer Lee is going to be your champion. I really believe that. I think it's going to be the third time in a row we get knocked off by Tomasello at the Big Ten Championships, and then we knock him off at the NCAA Championships.
You heard it here, folks. Mark Ironside with his weekly appearance. He'll be back next Wednesday. See you then.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
See you, Mark.
Let's go to a break. We're going to bring in David Hyatt, president of the Iowa Speedway, and we're going to have some breaking news. Local football hire head coach next on the Gym Class.
Howdy, folks. Colonel Sanders here to tell you about KFC's $10 chicken shares. They're perfect to share with those special people in your life. Choose from 6 pieces of my Kentucky Fried Chicken, 9 extra crispy tenders, 12 hot wings, or a bunch of popcorn nuggets. So grab your buddy, your cousin, your dad, your college roommate, or my friend Joan, and head to KFC. Are you there yet? Okay, good. Now get to sharing and eating. KFC's $10 chicken shares. It's finger-licking good.
At participating KFCs only. Hot wings not available at all locations. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
Hiring? Every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. ZipRecruiter revolutionized hiring. Their technology finds great candidates for you. It learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. Right now, our listeners can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Dan. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Dan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
My neighbors always ask me, "Hey, Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?"
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Welcome back. Mark Dukes alongside Kyle Mann today. Scott Unash concluding his coverage of the North Linn game and the Boys State basketball tournament, the 1A semifinals. As we mentioned, breaking news on the Metro side, Jefferson High School has announced that Chris Busing is its new head football coach, replacing Brian Webb, who recently resigned to take the head job at Sioux City East. Busing has spent the last 6 years coaching in the Jayhawk program as a defensive coordinator, and he's filled multiple roles over at Jefferson. He's also currently in his second year as the head boys track coach. So, Chris Busing, welcome to the Metro head coaching fraternity. And knowing what I know about the Jefferson landscape over there, I think it's a very popular hire. So,
yeah, I personally just barely missed him becoming a coach, but he was around the program a little bit just as an alum, and from what I know about him, he's definitely a guy who who I think kids will want to play well for, which is always important, especially at the high school level.
Very, very pleased to have David Hyatt in studio here. He's the president of Iowa Speedway. And really appreciate you coming in, Dave.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Hey, you're an East Tennessee State grad. I'm sorry about your boys in the conference tournament.
That's almost. We're kind of used to that.
You know, there's an Iowa connection there. Head coach Steve Forbes from Iowa.
Did not know that. But, you know, the other thing, when I went there, I was majored in communications,
mm-hmm.
and the director of our department actually was a University of Iowa graduate.
Oh.
Yeah. So he was.
Small world.
Until you try to mow it.
Well, you've been in the job a short period of time, but you still got to be excited.
I am. You know, drinking from a fire hose right now, but having a good time, getting to know the people around Central Iowa and over here. It's been a great education for me so far, and I'm just excited to be on board and see what we could do with that place.
As you might guess, Kyle, this guy was in radio at one time as a part-timer back in the day, right?
Back in the day.
He's already thrown in two real good sayings. Small world till you try to mow it, and then drink it from a fire hose.
Feel free to use those.
I'm probably going to. I'd never heard either.
I read in your bio that Ed sent that you were very instrumental in NASCAR.com and launching that.
Yeah, I was. I actually spent most of my career in motorsports in the media side of the business and had worked for MRN, the Motor Racing Network, the radio network that broadcasts most of the NASCAR races, and was there doing station relations. And got a call from the folks at NASCAR. It's kind of a sister company. And they called me and said, hey, we'd like you to come do something new for us. We want to launch an internet site. And I thought, all right. I don't even own a computer. And they said, that's all right. We can get you one of those. We think you can do this. And so back when Al Gore and I invented the internet, we decided to make NASCAR.com. And it was really cool. We worked with a partner company out in Seattle. It was a company called Starwave. And it was owned by a guy named Paul Allen. And if you know anything about the history of Microsoft, Paul Allen was Bill Gates' partner
mm-hmm.
when they founded Microsoft. And obviously, he's got some big sports connections with the Seahawks and the Trailblazers and all. And that was a cool experience to get that up and running. We had literally about 6, maybe 7 weeks to actually get the first site built and launched. We had from January 1 until the start of the Daytona 500 to get it launched.
It probably looks a bit different now,
just
huh?
A wee bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit.
But that's exciting. I mean, imagine how many people go to that website every single week.
A million. You know? Yeah. And even back then, it became one of the top 10 traffic sites on the internet within 2 years' time. And now it is the de facto place to go for NASCAR racing information.
Well, Paul Allen is building the largest plane in the world, and now you're president of Iowa Speedway. So how about that?
Hey, you know, we're just like that. Paul and I did, you know, he pulled up the basketball floor when he bought the Trailblazers at the old Rose Garden up there. So what was it called?
I think. Yeah, sounds familiar.
Yeah. So and actually had it rebuilt in his home, and we got entertained there one night and actually got to play basketball on Paul's
nice.
Court. So that was kind of
what?
Yeah, it was fun.
The schedule at Iowa Speedway is as attractive as usual. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. We kick off the season on Father's Day weekend with our first big doubleheader. We've got the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, and we've got the NASCAR Xfinity Series in the American Ethanol Race. And that one is that starts off, we call it our wide opening weekend. And in between those two races, we got a little concert, a group called Survivor. You may remember them. And then we roll into first part of July, the 7th and 8th, right after Independence Day. And we welcome the ARCA Series and the IndyCar Series for the Iowa Corn 300. And if you really want to see a diverse weekend, that's the weekend. Mm-hmm. You see stock cars and open-wheel cars. And you really see why it's the fastest short track on the planet. Those cars, those open-wheel cars, Indy, get around that track like nobody's business. And then at the end of July, the 27th weekend, we bring the K&N Pro Series back from NASCAR's ranks. And we bring the NASCAR Xfinity Series back for the U.S. Cellular 250. And that's our kind of compact racing season, three big weekends over about 6 or 7 weeks. And, you know, we're not raising ticket prices this year. So we feel like we want to get people to come out and really check out the place again, reimagine it, revisit it, come see what we're going to try to do new. We've got a few ideas circulating around our heads. We haven't put them on paper yet, much less fully implemented them. But we've got some ideas to make it just make it fun and have people come out and have a good family experience. Our season ticket prices start at $99 for all six races. I mean, for that matter, I mean, you know, it's a great three trips to the track, and a lot of fun stuff to do. Family friendly.
Is that kind of what you just talked about, what you want to bring as the president
to the
Speedway?
Yeah, we want to bring, obviously, fun and family and all of our Iowa friends to the facility, because it really is a well-designed racetrack. When you think about the tracks that are out there, and you hear a lot of talk about cookie-cutter racetracks, and this is certainly not one of those. And it's one of the attractions of the track. A driver, Rusty Wallace, designed the track. Hats off. He's a good friend of mine. And when you've got a driver, you think about it like a golf pro who designs a golf course. Here you've got a professional race car driver. And this is the only track that NASCAR races on that a professional driver designed. And as a result, many drivers love to race on it. And it creates a very good, what we like to call a racy racetrack. You're gonna see good racing when you come here, and that's key. And I know Iowa's full of great race fans. Heck, you've got more racetracks per capita than any other state in the country. I mean, I think that's fantastic.
What we really want to do is get Landon Castle ride somewhere along the way. Okay,
absolutely. You know, we were just down at meeting his father Roger a little while ago. And talked with him a good bit. And I saw Landon just before I left Charlotte and came up here a couple of weeks ago. So I would like to see Landon back in a good high quality ride, because he certainly has the skill sets to get it done.
Yep. And Joey Gase from Cedar Rapids on the Xfinity circuit as well. So yep. Cedar Rapids fairly well represented over the years.
Absolutely. They are very much so.
David, time's short, but really appreciate visiting with you, and hopefully give the website out, phone number, whatever you want to give out, for people to find more information.
Sure. Easiest way to do it is the website. So iowaspeedway.com. It's really complicated. Two E's in Speedway. iowaspeedway.com. And you can contact us. Plenty of information on schedule, ticketing. If you've got questions, feel free to submit. We will look at every email, give you a call back, follow up with you. And we're just anxious to put on a good show.
David, have a heck of a year at Iowa Speedway, okay?
Thank you, and you guys, thanks for having me. This is awesome.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
David Hyatt, president of the Iowa Speedway, joining us on the Gym Class. When we come back, we'll put a wrap on it.
A tree is a thing of beauty until it ends up on your house, car, or head.
Out!
Unfortunately, all trees die, and when they do, they fall on your house, car, and head.
We need a medic!
That's where Frank's Tree Service comes in. They'll come look at your trees for free. Frank's Tree Service is a lot cheaper than a carpenter to fix the hole in your house, a body shop to fix your car, and a doctor to fix the hole in your head.
Start CPR.
Frank's Tree Service offers 24-hour emergency service or preventative care at 319-366-4747. That's 319-366-4747.
You know that Iowa City is the epicenter of wrestling. Now it's time to show the world. The 2018 Freestyle World Cup is coming to Carver Hawkeye Arena April 7th and 8th. This is your chance to see not only the best in the United States, but the best in the world. Team USA will lay it on the line against the top seven wrestling countries in the world in this team competition. For ticket information, visit WorldCupIowaCity.com or call 1-800-IA-HAWKS.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with 11% off everything. Get a garage door you can trust and depend on from Ideal. They offer a variety of styles and features. Right now, all Ideal garage doors are 11% off. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through March 10th. 11% savings are a mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out carpentersunionapprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class on KGYM.
Welcome back for the last couple minutes of the Gym Class. Thanks for David Hyatt, president of the Iowa Speedway, for joining us. Mark Ironside as well earlier. If you missed any of it, visit our podcast at KGYMradio.com. A couple of housekeeping issues. North Lynn has advanced to the 1A state championship game, 74-51 over Gilbertville. Don Bosco. North Lynn will play the winner of Grandview Christian and Remsen St. Mary's Friday at 2 o'clock in the championship. Right now, we want to give you an opportunity before a Bowling Night in America report to win a $30 gift card to La Cantina. Three different locations you can visit during tournament time. Go in, get your favorite beverage, chips and salsa, maybe a little queso. Right now, caller six will win that $30 gift card. No chips and queso at Bowling Night in America. It tends to get your fingers greasy, you know, but
I actually went bowling over the weekend.
You did?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. In 1 week, you watched The Bachelor and went bowling.
That's right.
How about that? Kyle, man, Kim. Yeah, six, Jeff. Thank you. Yeah, the season winding down. The Rusty Nails 51-49 on the year, tied for eighth, but only three out of fourth. Tonight, we'll try to do what we can against Quaker on lanes 29 and 30, and I think we're going to be pretty competitive. Mm. Having said that, we'll probably lose all four. But at any rate, Scott Unas, obviously not in the lineup. He will be in Des Moines. He'll await my texts anxiously tonight on the progress. He's always interested in that. If you're interested in Mace City Bowl for, say, a birthday party, open bowling, a company outing, want to know about the pro shop, Andy Dirks out there running a terrific ship, give Mace City Bowl a call, 362-0136, or visit the website, macecitybowlcr.com. Tomorrow, we will be joined by Kevin Lehman, our college basketball expert. He'll break down tonight's Iowa State-Texas game in the Big 12 tournament, talk about the ending for Iowa and you and I, perhaps, and other matters college basketball. Scott Unas will also have two calls at the Boys State Tournament. So that means you're here again, Kyle, okay?
Yep, sounding like all week.
2 o'clock, Xavier and Glenwood in the semifinals, 3A and 6:30, Iowa City West and Waukee in the 4A semifinals. So there you have it. Golf tomorrow, Bowling Night in America recap, college basketball, high school basketball. What more would you want?
Checking all the boxes there.
How about that? Join us tomorrow on the Gym Class. Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann with you.
Mace City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, Mace City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Adult League.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you